Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Tuesday, the day we study the Bible together as a community. Even though we're not all in one place at the same time, we try to stay in sync. And so this is the day in our rhythm where we read a story from the Bible and try to learn a little bit about the context before we revisit it tomorrow. This week we're looking at the story of David and Goliath. Pretty famous story. Comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. The whole story is there. We're going to read half of it today, half of it tomorrow, and even then it's going to be abbreviated. So I'd encourage you, if you've got the time, to read the whole story in 1 Samuel 17. Or if you don't have time, just listen or read or watch today's story. Just be aware that it's not got every detail there, just for the sake of time. Now, just to give you a little bit of context for where we are. Last week we looked at how David became aware that he would be the next king. There was already a king named Saul, but God was displeased with him and had sent one of his prophets to go and identify and anoint the next king. And he picked a really unusual, unexpected choice for king. He knew which family it would be, and he sent Samuel to go and meet that family. He sent his prophet to go there and do that identifying and anointing. What happened when he got there was the family paraded all these sons before him, and Samuel kept saying, no, this isn't the one that God wants, even though they were handsome, strong, clearly the favorites of the family. And finally, they brought the son who was keeping the sheep in from the fields, David, and it became clear that he was the one God wanted, the one who was the last choice of his family even, and yet he was to be king. Now at this point, for the story of David and Goliath, he's still not actually the king. He's still tending sheep back home, while all his brothers are actually on the front lines of battle, fighting against the Philistines with King Saul. So that's where the story picks up today. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And Jesse said to David his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them." As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and he will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So here we have these two opposing armies who are at a bit of an impasse. They were here at a valley. And kind of like you can imagine where I am here, one of the armies was on the ridge on one side of the valley. And the other army was on the other side of the valley. They both stood there facing off, knowing that if one of them moved first and ran down to the bottom of the valley where I am, they face certain death. Because first they'd run down, they'd be vulnerable to any stones being slung at them by slingers, to the cavalry who'd be on horses and could charge down at them and would have all the advantage of height and speed, and even the infantry, slow moving as they were with all that armor that you see described on Goliath, they would have had an advantage over the troops that were in the bottom. So whoever moved first took a huge risk, knowing that they would face a slaughter. They had to be willing to go down into the valley and then run up the other side if they expected to have any chance against their opponent. They would probably have already lost a lot of men, and they would probably already have exhausted themselves. And so that's why we find these two armies just facing off, standing there, not wanting to move. To break that impasse, Goliath, this champion of the Philistines, suggests single combat, that each army will send one man to fight against the other. That will determine the outcome of this war. There'll be less bloodshed that way. Nobody has to break the impasse. They can just each send a representative to play, you know, rock, paper, scissors, and that will represent a victory for one of the sides. So when Goliath offered himself as their biggest, strongest man, he would have expected the Israelites to do the same, to offer up their champion, their greatest warrior. And so Goliath prepared himself for that. He brought multiple weapons. He was covered in armor. He had a shield bearer with him. He was expecting somebody to fight basically on his terms. And instead, David puts up his hand and says, "I'll do it." The least of all of them, a shepherd boy who was delivering food to his brothers, is the one who shows the kind of courage that God said he recognized in his heart. The willingness that David had to trust God was what God was looking for in a future king. And here we see him trusting God. He's got courage, not because he's so strong, so powerful, because he's just youthful and has a death wish. No, he has courage because he trusts God. There's something in his heart that allows him to fully trust God for safety and security. And he just doesn't understand why the Israelites can't do the same. Why are they scared of the Philistines? Why are they scared of Goliath when they have the living God on their side? That's how David sees it, but the others don't. And that's your question to discuss today with some other people you know. Friends, family, colleagues, fellow commuters, start a small group, please, that discusses these challenges as often as you get together. Watch the videos separately, listen separately, read separately, but then when you are together, discuss what you've been learning. Here's your question for today. What were the Israelites doing wrong? How were they making decisions if it wasn't based on God? So, have a good discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.